Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet. FeedSpot. Love them. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. And when I was a kid, the big deal for us was to hide under our desks.
Okay.
When the missiles came. I mean, we were really scared, man.
After these anti-missile desks?
Oh, my God. After the atomic bomb in the Second World War, we were, it was almost 10, 20 years till we got over our fear of that was going to happen. So a new movie put out by Netflix, A House of Dynamite.
Right. It is, without getting too deep into the metaphor yet, it's about the government response to an unknown projectile, which has been fired at the United States. I thought it was really interesting because they really dramatized and showed us peek inside. Now, of course, we'll never know what it's like inside of
missile
command.
I hear it's very accurate.
Okay. It looks accurate.
It looks accurate,
it looks
right.
Believable to me.
Yeah.
Now, as that projectile comes hurtling toward us at 6 kilometers per second, as that was a really mind-blowing figure. What do we do? How do we stop it? And we hear about Israel's Iron Dome all the time. And it works pretty well. I think some still get through. Mm-hmm. But those are just small, short, and medium-range projectiles. Intercontinental ballistic missile that's headed for a major American city. And what is the U.S. going to do? All this money that we spend on military, how do we stop just one missile?
It can't be a bullet on a bullet.
Right. You're trying to stop a bullet with a bullet. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And the funny part is I was just thinking about it, and if someone wanted to destroy us, they wouldn't shoot just one. And a lot of the estimates say that I think North Korea has the potential to launch 10 at the same time.
Well, here's what I love, too. They send up two, right?
Okay.
They have more, but they're like saving them.
Save them.
For
right,
what?
Exactly.
Excuse me, do you think you're going to get a chance to use it if that baby...
We don't need Chicago. I just thought of the deep dish pizza, John. What are we going to do?
I know.
It's all gone.
It's eradicating that accent may be worthwhile.
Oh, the Chicago accent.
Which is worse than Rochester, where I grew up.
Rochester's pretty bad.
Oh,
and I say that as a New Yorker. That's pretty bad. I don't think I ever had it, but Rochester's basically Canadian.
I've lost a lot of my Rochester.
Thank God.
But you're flat. That kind of thing. Ew,
no, you still have it.
Yeah. Do I?
They don't have it in Buffalo, do they? Which is weird. Buffalo is close to Canada, too.
You may be right, yeah. So the big deal is stopping the missile and finding out who sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people running around the Situation Room. It's in three parts.
Yes.
Captain Rebecca Ferguson, who looks like my daughter Jessica, and acts like her.
Who is excellent. She's always the top dog. She's always that aggressive, okay, you know, I'm just kind of the matriarch, or I'm this background female figure. But in reality, she's got the bull by the horns. I love the way that she, the energy she brings to the screen. Great in Dune, and also for the TV lovers, Silo, you get plenty of Rebecca Ferguson.
What I don't get in this film, and what I appreciate about it, is that I don't get a lot of this stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
I do get some. Right, you know, if this happens, you're going to be calling Adria to find out how Zoe is.
Right.
We know that, right?
Right.
Even though you shouldn't do it, everybody's got their phone,
uh-huh.
And they're going to call to find out. And I like that.
Yes.
And but they don't dwell on it. You know how you usually have the wife fighting with the husband. Right. Why do you have this job?
Oh, yeah. You mean in the movie?
Yes.
Yes. Because I did watch it at home, and I did check on my daughter during the movie. But that really blew my mind. These people who are responsible for millions of American lives, they're busy texting their, hey, you know, drive away from Chicago as fast as you can.
Yes.
How about you work on this nuke that's coming towards the city?
And I thought it was nice because I have an estranged daughter. Mm-hmm. And this one character has an estranged daughter, and mm-hmm. he wants to.
The holes in this movie, John. Are you ready?
Okay.
Now,
right.
If the nuke is heading towards your estranged daughter and there's nothing you can do to stop it, she won't listen to you. However, the concept that this projectile may be a dud, it may not be a missile, we don't know what it is, maybe nothing happens. Are you going to jump off the roof before it blows up, or are you going to wait until it blows up, right?
I'm waiting.
Okay. you know, that was a powerful image where he's suddenly at one of the, I guess he's the Secretary of Defense. He's just so overwhelmed with emotion that his daughter, all these people are going to die. He just jumps off a roof, takes his own life.
That's right.
He doesn't wait until it hits the ground. You know, wait another minute, right?
Right, yeah. You know, you bring up a question.
Yes.
Which is undoubtedly true. Even if you could call it a hole or whatever you want. What do you do? How long do you wait?
Right.
I feel that throughout.
And that brings up really interesting geopolitical situations, real hot button issues that we've never experienced, thank goodness, because it would be the extinction of the human race. The concept of, do you strike now knowing that you're going to be struck, even though they don't know who sent the missile, right? Okay, well,
boy, wow, is that right?
And do you send missiles at everyone because you don't know who it is? So you attack Iran and North Korea and Russia and China just because.
And although, do you take the Russians' word for it that they didn't do it? What do you do in that world?
Well, yeah, that's the end of the world at that point.
I've heard that there are certain major politicians that they have pulled away from the responsibility for these decisions.
Okay.
Because it's scary.
It is
think
scary.
About one or two of the major world figures.
The launch code.
Right, to be in the launch code.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Hear they pulled it away.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
can you imagine? Laminated binder to Mr. Trump. Sir, what level of destruction would you like to wreak upon the world today?
And that is a great piece on this. The young officer mm-hmm. tells the president, played by Idris Elba.
Yeah, and he disagree, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay, so he looks at the book.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way you could digest
no,
that.
No, no, no.
It may be the first time he's seen it.
No. But they bring a really interesting, and I need to research, see if this is true, but there's a high-ranking naval officer who's just following the president around all the time with this giant notebook. And that's what's in the notebook. The president in this movie says, you're always carrying that thing around. You know, what's in that binder? So he has to decide whether or not he's going to launch a nuke, but he has to ask this guy what's in the notebook. And he said it looks like a diner menu.
And it's funny the way they reprised that Bush scene
with
the little book reading to the kids
on
9/11.
Right, and right, right. Yeah, yeah, because he was in a little kid's classroom.
Yeah, so he was in another of that photo opportunity.
Right. They clearly want Idris to reprise his normal role as the suave, super cool, dashing guy. He's the president. He's joshing. He's teasing people. He's just this guy in power. But he's a black president. Come on, there's not too many of those.
No.
He plays basketball. His wife in the movie is on a safari. So, I mean, they're basically...
So you're mad because he's not a volleyball player?
No, they're the Obamas, right? I just don't understand why they were so specifically evoking the Obamas without anything to say about it.
That brings up the question as to whether this is left-leaning.
That's a good question. I don't think so. It seems pretty neutral. I think there is a villain who's played excellently. I wonder if he is an actual military person, but the general who's very bloody minded, who's pushing the president to attack all of our enemies, that seems like a rebuke of the military machine.
The other one that I like is General Anthony Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy who wants to talk about the ball game last night.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that
yes,
is.
him. Yes, yes.
Do you know
he's
that's Tracy Letts?
Okay, who's that?
He has won the Tony Award playwright.
Oh, is he?
He did August Osage County, I think.
Okay.
And he is a fine actor.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
He can play that middle-aged guy who's seen it all and, you know, please don't
kind
bother me with this.
Slovenly, you
yes,
know.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Who is talking to me, you know? What do you have to do that's better than talking to me right now? He was excellent.
Yeah. And back to Idris again.
Yes.
Your objection to Idris is that it's too on the point.
Yes. Well, it's fine to do that, but why? What does that mean? Maybe the meaning has escaped me, but why are we choosing such a close representation of Barack Obama in this movie? What are we saying about that? Hmm. Also, Idris Elba, his basketball jump shot is terrible, and I was really aghast seeing him shoot.
Really?
Yes, it was horrible. He's British, so he probably plays soccer, so that's fine. Anyway.
And he and the little kid.
And then they injected Angel Reese, a famous WNBA.
Oh,
probably
right.
Know
she
is.
Was real.
Yes, that's actually her.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of that was either.
Yeah.
She was only in the movie for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyway, Idris, he does a good president. He does.
Oh,
and I think with the scene where he's in the helicopter and he has to make a decision, it's excellent. That's probably the best part of the movie, where he's allowed to work.
I was initially discomforted by her repeating the dialogue.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, I understand better. I listen to what she says about what she's doing.
Okay.
The different perspective.
Yes.
Because when the second or third time I'm hearing the same dialogue, I said, what do I need to waste my time? I've already heard this.
Right. And there you bring us to the main flaw of this movie, okay? Is that if you're going to use the storytelling device of repeating, the last great example of that would be Weapons, right?
Oh, yes.
That actually is the same style of storytelling, where you're from multiple angles. You need to tell us something new each time.
Yeah,
the second time,
it.
We learned almost nothing. And we're essentially just on the other side of the conference call, which is really boring. And then I was super letdown, the first letdown, there were multiple, because President's camera is not on the Zoom call, and he's just talking. And they keep zooming in on his black square, and I keep thinking, why is his camera not on? There must be some incredible reason. There's no reason. It's just because he's at the basketball game.
Oh.
And he's walking around. They finally show us the president's point of view. There's no exciting reason why his camera's not on.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Right.
But it was the same objection I had.
Right.
Like, please give me something else. Right. Why are you repeating this? I know, supposedly a different perspective, but she does not give you a different perspective.
No, it doesn't.
She gives you the same dialogue.
Yes.
And some meaningless.
It's identical dialogue.
So, yeah. So I think that's a really good point. Now, see,
yes.
I'm much more forgiving than you are.
Okay, that's fine.
I buy into every bit of this.
Well, I loved it. And that's why I'm so hard on this movie, because the setup is fantastic, and I'm okay with an open-ended ending, but there has to be an ending. There's no middle. It's just a big setup. The missile is about to hit Chicago, and you never know if it does. Okay, but I think it's all set up and then no meat. What's the plot?
Right,
what happens?
Ezra, what do you recommend concerning this movie? It's a Netflix movie, which means it's available to everybody.
Yes, it is. It's full of big-name actors. It's fun. It's intense. If you have a Netflix subscription, it's an easy yes. Watch it. Just know you may be unsatisfied at the end.
No, because nobody's going to be as picky as you and Ken. And Ken, and Ken came through with a litany.
Ken will agree with me.
Yeah, he will. You two nerds are just exactly alike. You're picking this thing apart before it's even had a chance. Then in subsequently reading, I understand that they're really pretty faithful to everything that happens. Right. And given the idiots who are very often in politics, I'm not surprised at all.
Neither am I.
Well, Ezra Hoover, we come back frequently to the same topic.
Yes.
And I will truncate it so that we're not boring people.
Mm-hmm.
Suspending disbelief is crucial to enjoying.
Absolutely.
Something like
that. Absolutely. And that's my goal, Jai. I always say it. I'm an escapist. I want to suspend. I'm ready. And I don't think that's what bugged me about this movie. It's not the suspense of disbelief. I just want more.
Yes.
It's such a good setup.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking in my head, this is Netflix. Netflix has infinite amounts of money.
Yes.
They've got all these huge actors. Am I going to get to see a scene of Chicago melting? Are we going to see blackened deep dish pizzas everywhere?
After his litany of what was wrong with this, because Ken does have a military background in his family.
Okay.
And he's tuned into this stuff.
Okay.
I just criticized him and said, you know, let yourself go, please. You're going to die too young if you worry about this. As for an incomplete ending, let's call it that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit shy about telling everybody what happens in it, but it's crucial to our discussion at this moment.
Well, you can't tell me what happens because nothing happens, John. There's nothing to say.
Well, that is saying it is something. By the time I get to an ending, I actually don't care.
Okay.
If it's a good movie, and Catherine Bigelow knows how to make a good movie.
Yes, she does.
I got it.
Yep.
By the time I get two-thirds into that movie, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever she does, and if you give an incomplete, the English major kicks in,
yep.
And he loves the ambiguity.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So,
all right.
So that's where we are with that with me.
All right. Well, here's my metaphor that I proposed to you, okay? Or my comparison.
Yeah.
Inception, a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah.
By all accounts.
Yeah.
The final iconic scene, the top is spinning. It wobbles.
Oh,
then
yeah.
It stops wobbling. It cuts to black. Okay.
That's,
okay, I don't know. Are we still in the conception or are we not? Right?
Good one.
But it feels more like we cut it maybe a third into the movie. And on top of that, this is almost 2 hours long, John. That's a lot of movie to have such so little content.
Yeah. Ken was telling me that in the Drexel.
Yeah.
They booed at the end.
Did they?
They were very pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happened.
It's a bold move as a director to do that. People don't like it.
I love it open-ended.
Really don't like it.
Well, this is the kind of movie.
Yes.
According to the way you're describing it, this is the kind of movie that draws me in immediately.
Okay.
And I'm always saying, what would I do? What would I do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd be heavily trained, and they apparently have done hundreds of hours of mock responses.
Okay, yes.
They are military by trade, so there's very little reason to think that they would blow it, or that they would be confused or almost panicked.
Right. Well, interesting. I did a little bit of research after watching the movie, and we talked about Israel's Iron Dome. Trump has proposed the Golden Dome.
Yes,
okay. It must be gold if it's Trump. It's Trump branded.
Gold leaf.
Hopefully those missiles don't have Trump's stamp on it. But
the new ballroom
we spent. And by the way, the Iron Dome, the United States has donated almost $2.6 billion to help Israel maintain their missile system. Okay, so that's just pennies compared to what we've spent for our Golden Dome, which it's accurate. It's mentioned in the movie. It only works about 50 to 60% of the time.
Oh, I know.
Even yes. in controlled situations. And that's terrifying.
And they're saying that there's 61% just regular.
Yeah.
Your odds.
Yeah, 61% chance of success.
He said what, for $3 billion we get.
Well, in the movie, you're watching in horror, and this is one of the strengths of the movie. You're watching with tension as this thing is going towards Chicago. The first satellite interceptor fails to deploy. It doesn't even work.
Yes.
And then the second one deploys but misses. Yes. Right? And then the guy screams, that's what $50 billion is.
You're right, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the difference is humor.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an ounce of humor anywhere except for Tracy Letts says, hey, what happened at the ball game?
right.
I mean, no, really, nothing. There is. There's but I'm okay nothing. With that.
Yeah.
I don't need humor. This is a case of where I don't need humor.
No.
Because there's nothing really laughable
no.
about what they're proposing here. And every one of us sitting there knows that this is possible. The rogues who are taking over the world, mm-hmm. the far-right rogues, any one of them is capable of being stupid like this.
We have, over the years, we've realized that the only true solution to this is de-escalation, getting people to stop less, yes. fewer bombs. And I don't think our current president would be interested in fewer bombs.
No, he wouldn't at all.
More bombs.
And, yeah. And in fact, he's not going to respect any of those accords that we had after World War II. No.
No. And what do you think about the scene where they call Russia, you know, ask him, was it you?
Interesting. I think that's a very important scene that's so underplayed. We are talking the fate of the world, right. and we're trying to figure out whether somebody's lying to us or not. At that point, we can't take a chance.
Right.
It's
right.
like talking to some bully in the yard and mm-hmm. saying, you're not going to hit me again, are you? Oh, no, I'm
no,
not. If you give
never.
Me that, if you give me your wad of money there. Yeah, so I think it's a good one to call on.
It is.
And as you're asking me, I'm saying, I trivialize that. They're just a couple of guys talking. And
I would have liked more of that. And one of my esteemed friends that I watch these movies with, good points. It would be cool to see, because they do mention calling North Korea and China and all these other countries. What are those conversations like?
Right, it would be.
Right? What are they doing while we're doing it? This is an interesting movie because of the incredibly A-list actors, but it almost feels lower budget because it's so limited in
yes.
scope in the ways
yes.
in which it's filmed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And basically, we're in that strategy room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in only a couple
which
of locations.
Which is gorgeously imagined.
Beautiful.
Is that a set or what? Again,
sure
it's got to be, right?
Yeah.
It looks so convincing.
Now, they were allowed in to see that one.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the other reasons why I think it's pretty accurate.
Okay.
But computer monitors get me.
Yeah.
A bank of computer monitors, and I'm in. I'm already.
I'm hooked.
It's so far from me.
A plus.
it's so far away from that. Here you have, and you mentioned, say, Sean Connery mm-hmm. in a submarine or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
These are people who bring dignity and
right.
weight to their roles.
Right.
All you need to do is get the right actor, mm-hmm. and you're going to have the right response. And what I like here is all these are responsible, intelligent people, mm-hmm. as well as being ace actors.
Right.
And so they're going to give you the impression
they are.
That they should know what they're doing, and then I suddenly realize they don't know what they're doing.
And that's another strength of the movie. It's sometimes you watch something that brings awareness to something that you hadn't even thought of, right? The threat of nuclear destruction and how woefully unprepared we are. I didn't
yes.
really know that. Did you ever stop and think that if somebody shoots a nuke, we can't do anything about it?
I always thought, well, we just send ours up there, and this
we'll
one is making me aware. What do you think, John? Does your computer work all the time? No. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
So maybe if there's an ICBM coming toward Chicago, we're not going to be able to stop it.
No. Nope.
And does that seem so unreal? No. Now, I've researched and could not find that many about nuclear attack.
Really?
Yeah, even though we have Independence Day and so
see,
on.
See, now, my favorite movies, I tend to watch the movie after the nuclear attack has already happened. Now, what's the
oh, yeah,
fallout?
You like a post-apocalypse.
Yes.
We have one here with Denzel in Crimson Tide. So there's a mutiny to prevent a trigger-happy captain.
Hmm. Yes, because they get orders, and then there's a breach in communication or something. And he's like, well, I'm just going to shoot the nuke anyway. And they said, hold on a second.
And it would have to be Gene Hackman, wouldn't it?
Yes, Gene Hackman.
Hackman could play slightly crazed and terrifying.
I'll need to see that version of Denzel. I think maybe it's a little different than usual.
Post-apocalyptic. So I hope you've seen this.
Okay.
Because this is right up your alley.
Okay.
On the beach.
On the beach. Okay.
Gregory Peck is the submarine commander. And they stop in Australia. It's the only place that hasn't been hit in a nuclear reaction. And Ava Gardner's there, okay. And they fall in love. And so they're riding around in the submarine, and the world is falling apart, and Australia's the only place where you can stay, but that's going to be gone soon.
Really?
And with the theme song, Waltzing Matilda.
Is it?
Oh, my God, is that beautiful.
What year is this movie?
59.
59, okay.
But this is quintessential Gregory Peck.
Okay.
On the beach.
Uh-huh.
Do you mind if I disclose the ending
Please,
to you?
Go ahead. That's fine. I'll watch it anyway.
They hear a ping that sounds like Morse code.
Oh.
So they got that, and that's what they're searching for. Life beyond Australia. And they zero in on San Francisco.
Hmm.
So they're going, and it's eerie because there's nobody on land.
Underwater,
everything.
Yeah.
And they're coming into San Francisco to find this person who's sending them the Morse code.
Yeah.
It's a wire hanging from...
Oh, and it's just touching.
Yes. And he goes... When he goes to Australia, you want him to stay with Ava Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would stay with Ava Gardner. You might not because you have a great wife. But since I don't, I might stay with Ava Gardner. But he doesn't because one of the last shots, this is Stanley Kubrick. So you are going to get
okay.
a romantic take.
Okay.
You got her looking at him going away in the submarine, standing up just before it's going to go under. And then Gregory Peck, he's looking up to see what the weather is like and so on. This is essential. Don't worry, because Gregory Peck has got it. So anyway, this is post-apocalyptic.
It sounds almost diluvian, like kind of Noah's Ark type stuff, right?
Well, you've got the feel. Yeah. It's the end of the world,
uh-huh.
and yet you've got this swelling music, and they bring in the Waltzing Matilda, and there is nothing that gets me going.
I gotta check it out.
Waltzing Matilda. But it's called On the Beach.
You always have the best movie recommendations.
No, man. I'm telling you. I know this is something that you'd like.
All right, I'll check it out.
We can't because we don't have that much time.
No.
Go ahead.
I love that Netflix is making these movies. I love that I can watch them in my home theater. It's really comfortable and easy. But I hear it's bad for the movie industry. So I don't know how to feel, John.
I feel it's good. I feel that all those people in that movie that you and I saw on Netflix are making money.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if I paid money and went to a theater and
Rebecca
sat there,
Ferguson is going to be in future films because she's making money on Netflix.
It lowers the stakes, though, if you don't have to go to the theater. So I wasn't that upset when it ended that way. If I paid money and I had to drive home, I'd be really annoyed. I'd be throwing popcorn, John.
Actually, what I celebrated was the fact that Netflix was daring not to give you an ending.
Okay.
Because ordinarily they back away.
Right.
You think you're going to see Rebecca Ferguson nude? There's no way you're going to see that.
You got to go way back for that, John.
So they're always careful. Blood? When's the last time you saw blood on Netflix? And I realize it's because of family.
That's true.
You bring up that question, and I want to make my statement right here. Thank you, Netflix. Finally, not finally, I know there have been other good films there, but this is a really fine film that somebody like you can sit back and you can pick away at it, and you could actually go back to scenes.
I was surprised it was Netflix only, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many bombs. Just poor Keira Knightley was stuck in that tragedy of a movie. I know you like Keira Knightley's face. That doesn't make a good movie, John.
you're right. All right, Ezra Hoover. The movie is A House of Dynamite. It's available on Netflix. What do you advise?
Just watch it. If you have Netflix, it's fun. Idris does a good job.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.